In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Bub Beer, the official beer of Cheap Fun.
Club 1080, the hottest spot.
Show you my boots.
Milwaukee at the club.
Freaking punch it, bitch.
Club 1080.
I mean, I love him, but what a bitch.
Passion are
Google
always
me, bitch.
The fashion at the club.
You freaking bitch. Because this bitch is behind me. I'm going to kick your ass, you little bitch. Pop me up over there, bitch.
Welcome to the Bitch Hour without Isaac Roth.
Freaking punch it, bitch!
That's like his favorite word.
Take your Halloween and shove it up your little kid ass.
That's still my favorite Roth drop right there.
So
I don't even know why he was angry about Halloween, but he was. He's that guy that refuses to hand out Halloween candy.
I think we were doing some story about like, oh, since we don't get that many trick-or-treaters, we just turn off for our lights, don't come here for candy, you can take that candy and shove it up your little kid.
Something like that. He has become such an old curmudgeon, it's fantastic. He wasn't always that way, but like, he doesn't go out anymore. Like, we'll go out like with like clients, and like by 9 o'clock, Rob's like, yeah, time to turn in. He just has become an old curmudgeon, and it's fantastic, including refusing to hand out Halloween candy.
So,
Google me, bitch.
I wonder about, clearly that's like one of his favorite words to say emphatically. Coming up last week, we were talking a lot about the Mariners and their situation, and the name Don Wakamatsu came up, and one of our listeners texted in and said, I think that Don Wakamatsu and Tyler Hansbrough are the most referenced individuals on this show, like of all time.
It's possible.
And so I have not been around for nearly as much of it. And I'm wondering, like, if you whose name do you think you guys have said the most often?
Didn't you set a record, like a Guinness Book of World Records with Wakamatsu?
Like one day, I don't remember if it was when he got fired or he got hired or whatever. We just started saying Wakamatsu. And I was like, dude, that's such a fun name to say.
It is.
So then we just started saying Wakamatsu. Like, it became like, you ever watch the Smurfs? You know, where they say Smurf for everything. Like, it's like, it's the Smurfiest, it's like the F word, right?
Okay.
You can use it for anything. So we just started using Wakamatsu. And I think that day we added up, we had said Wakamatsu like 200 times. And then, of course, like for the next like 3 months, like, you know, there was always a Don Wakamatsu reference. So if we've referenced him a bunch, it was more just because it was like, Don Wakamatsu was a one-hit wonder. He had like the song of the summer. He was like Shibuzy. He had like one hit song, and we got all excited about it. He was Carly Rae Jepsen, and you know, we got fired up about him one time. If we had to say who we've talked about the most in 20 years,
off the top of my head, I would have guessed like maybe a name like Neil Olshey could have come up a lot.
Yeah,
Chip,
the GM bro, Dame. Came up. You know, he wasn't at Oregon that long.
No, he wasn't.
But I mean, we talked about him when he was out of the NFL. I mean, I was going to say, like, LeBron's been around forever, but we don't talk a lot of NBA.
I mean, Pete Carroll has been around for most of the prime tenure as a Seahawks.
You know, Brady. Brady got a lot. I mean,
Russ?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
I wish we could pull the data on that, because I'd be fascinated to find out what athlete or coach were invoked the most.
Yeah, that's a good question, because, you know, the Oregon's, I mean, coaches haven't stuck around. I mean, for a while, Riley, because he was around forever, but, you know, we've been through, you know, Bilotti. Bilotti was there for a long time, and then we went through a lot of guys after that. So, I don't know, and the Blazers have certainly been through a plenty, and we've been through several Blazer stars, because we were here for the down years.
Yeah.
And then we were there for the Randolph years, and then we were there for the Brandon Roy years, and then we've just been around a long time. We're a bunch of old curmudgeons.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and then, of course, the great Don Wakamatsu, which is, again, I challenge anyone. That's just a great name to say.
Now, that texter also said Tyler Hansbrough, which didn't ring, like, sit with me. Why is that someone that Roth has talked about a lot?
God, that's way.
That predates me.
That predates you. So I hate college. We do it in college sports in general, but college basketball gets it a lot. Where it's usually the white guy, right? We take the guy that's not very good in college, but we make him out to be the end-all, the be-all, because he hustled.
Sure.
And that was Tyler Hansbrough. Hansbrough was not a great basketball player, but he was white. And so we're like, oh, he's just gritty. He would drive me freaking crazy. And so it was just one of those things. The coverage of him just was nauseating. And so we had a P1, Kevin the Surgeon, who still listens. And he would text in a Tyler Hansbrough reference every single day. And that's back when we used to take calls. He would even call in and have a Tyler Hansbrough thing. And so that was like a running bit for, I think he did it every day for like a year. He would get a hold of the show and make a Tyler Hansbrough reference. So at least for one whole year, there was plenty of Tyler Hansbrough.
You probably had 300 Tyler Hansbrough references.
Oh God, yeah. There were so many of them. So you missed like he would get a bloody nose, and people would be like, "That's the greatest bloody nose in the history of basketball." And Dick Vitale's over there giving him a handy because he just can't get enough of him. It's like, oh my God, Tyler Hansbrough! I've never seen anything like it. Why? Because he's a white guy that plays hard, and it's always the white guy. It's never a black guy. It's never a black guy that like does the little thing like Draymond Green. If Draymond Green was white,
no one would ever shut up about him.
Oh my God. You would not hear the end of it.
Maybe that's why he has to tell you why he's so great.
It's possible. Because if he was a white kid from Indiana, holy F. Buckle up.
Look at this glue guy. He's meant so much to this franchise.
Defensive player of the year, right? Like what, five rings? Or do they have four?
Four rings.
Four rings. Olympic gold medal. They just... Somewhere like Sean Hannity would be touching himself at night thinking of him. And just... But because he's black now, he's like, oh, we hate him. But undersized, scrappy guy, Tyler Hansbrough. That's what everyone wanted. All those talking heads, the Dick Vitales, wanted Tyler Hansbrough to be Draymond Green. The problem is he was unathletic. He was unathletic and wasn't a very good NBA player.
Someone on the Vancouver Report text line says we talk about swag a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, someone else says the Tear Bear.
Yeah, he wasn't around long enough.
I didn't think so either.
You know, Swag may win that.
Yeah.
I mean, all honesty, Swag's been around as long as me and Rob.
Yep.
I mean, we're all 20 years. And Swag's been my producer, I think, three different times. Swag was like our Billy Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he'd get fired, and then he'd come back, get fired, and come back. And, you know, to this day, we still talk about him. The Swag UP women, like, I'm sorry, that batch of drops was like the best thing that happened to us like in a year.
Here's the situation. I mean, it's over. We think.
We spent like an entire hour doing that.
Yeah, we did.
It may be Swag. And by the way, no one will love this more than Jason Swaggart. But if you had to say who has been mentioned more on this show over 20 years, because you know, the Tear Bear comes and goes, people bring up Tim Tebow, you know, he's the Tyler Hansbrough of the NFL,
sure.
You know, world. You know, Dame, all these guys. But the key is consistency. Jason Swigard would be like the he'd be like the Jim Tomei.
Like Cal Ripken.
He just shows up
every day.
He's a compiler.
Yeah.
You know, he never hit like 60 home runs. But, dude, that son of a bitch was consistent.
And by the end, you look and you're like, man, that guy's got numbers.
I think it's swag.
Yeah.
I really do. Between all of the shenanigans of swag on and off the air, just the different versions of fat swag, skinny swag, hipster swag, dating swag, single swag.
Swag in sunglasses, wearing a tie, doing updates?
I do. I'm declaring it right now. Absolutely declaring it right now. I truly believe that the most referenced and mentioned human being in the history of this dumb 20-year run that me and Rob have been on is indeed Jason Swigard. And as I think about this, I'm not certain it's close. I think Swag may have lapped the competition. I mean, I bet you he gets mentioned at least once a week.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, today, here he comes again. We're just talking about him again. We play his drops all the time. I think it's freaking swag.
Hold on, everybody. Here's the situation.
And then, let's see. I mean, that's... We also got some follow-ups here from previous comments about the ROP Halloween drop. This Vancouver Ford text says, that was from my text. My kid didn't want Butterfingers, and you can take that and shove it up here. Yeah. Was ROP's response was to it. His yes. kid not being about Butterfingers.
Yes. See, there's someone remembered. Someone out there.
And then someone else says, I was interning for Primetime in 2010 when you had the Wakamatsu count. I forgot what the number was, but I had to count every single one of them. That's intern Kurt. 14 years ago.
Yep. Yeah, there's Kevin the Surgeon right there. Right? It's Tyler Hansbrough. Yeah, we've had varying degrees. You know, my brother for years before we had our falling out, he built momentum. You know, day in and day out. You know, it's been a couple years since. And to anyone's question, no, he's not coming back. That's not happening. But yeah, I mean, he was a consistent force, but that was one a day. But you know, some of the Mariner stuff. So he may, you know, he's high up there. But swag? No, man. The consistency of Jason Swigard. And, I mean, it's just an all-timer. It is. It's just swag. And the sweaters or the short shorts. I mean, that guy is the, like, if you had to do, like, write a sitcom, there's always the one, like, anchor, like, you know, the funny neighbor. Like, he's not the main character.
But he's in there
and
all the time.
And he kind of makes it.
Yeah.
That's, for this station, not this show, for this station. Swag is like our Kramer. He's just.
It's a good call.
He's just there. He's Wilson next door to the tool man. He's just there.
All right, coming up, I have a handful of stories here. All of them are pretty weird. I will let Sook spin the wheel of randomness when we come back in the club on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Scott.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Sook is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of cheap fun.
Can I get a hot tub?
Welcome back to the club. Have a handful of stories here today. They're all from very different realms, and I'm going to see what Suk and Ortner think about them. So here are the headlines. You can decide where we dive in first.
Before we get that, can I just say that whoever was texting in about if Swag talks in his normal life like he does on the air, that made our day.
Yeah, this person writes, do you think Lady Swag says, how about pizza tonight? And Swag responds with, hold on, everybody, here's the situation. I am lactose intolerant.
I want nothing more than Swag to use his announcer voice. His announcer voice when dealing with home-type situations. That's why Swag is the anchor neighbor character to that, because of things like that. Hold on! Dinner will be 15 minutes late! We're having risotto!
Did you flip the burgers? Those buns might be over-toasted!
Oh, we love you, Swag. All right. What do you got?
Well, we have five potential stories. First one, headline, I found out my fiancé cheated, so I had the $46,000 wedding without him.
Whoa!
We have Trump says if elected president, he will bolster Space Force with the Space National Guard.
Yeah, who knew that space needed to be guarded more than it already is?
We have a scientist that he said has found the, quote, perfect hiding place for the missing Malaysian flight MH370.
Oh, we're down the conspiracy theory that didn't crash into the Indian Ocean?
He thinks it may be hiding down there, or they're hiding it down there.
Oh, whoa. Well,
who's hiding it down there?
All right.
People?
You want to get into that one?
I want to hear about the $46,000 wedding, and I would also like to know where they're hiding the plane full of dead people.
Well, let's start there. An Australian scientist has claimed he's found the, quote, perfect hiding spot for the missing plane MH370. It was the Malaysian Airlines flight that vanished from radar after taking off in 2014.
See, isn't that crazy that that's been 10 years?
I can't believe it's been that long. It feels like it's been maybe five.
That's been 10 years. And by the way, I watched that stupid documentary on that thing. That was the worst documentary of all time. You learned absolutely
It was terrible.
Nothing.
I watched it, too.
But at this point, I think everyone, the consensus is that it was pilot suicide. And the guy took everyone down, and they just it's in the bottom of the Indian Ocean, like somewhere between Asia and Australia. That is just, you know, it's at the bottom of the ocean, and good luck finding that sucker. But it is crazy to think that with all the modern technology, like we can't. In fact, this may be the only modern plane like of this size that we can't find. Like this doesn't happen. We're like, oh, it's somewhere around there.
So he is he basically said, like you, he thinks. Or not like you, but like some of the conjecture, he does believe that it was deliberately crashed.
Yeah. The guy, like, turned off everything, and he just, you know, he pilot suicide. That he may have, what was the other one? That he may have turned off all the oxygen so everyone just passed out.
Right.
And that everyone was asleep. That way no one could attempt to.
I didn't know any of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. The pilot suicide happens. I mean, that's now why there's a bunch of restrictions. Like, you can't be in the cockpit by yourself. And even if there's just two pilots and one of them has to go to the bathroom, someone else has to go in and sit down with the cockpit with the guy. It was like a German pilot a number of years ago that I think it was somewhere in the French Alps did this. The co-pilot went to the bathroom, locked the door, and now you can't break him down.
That's
because of 9/11. Happens all the time. Well, not all the time, but it is a thing where you do. I mean, it's pilot suicide. You take a plane down into the ground and a bunch of people. So now they have restrictions. So there's some debate about whether he incapacitated or the pilot, or they didn't follow protocol and the guy left, he locked it, and that maybe if he turned off the oxygen. And so everyone gets lightheaded and, you know, everyone goes to sleep. And then he was able to basically fly the plane whenever he wanted to.
Evil.
And basically just took it into the ocean.
So this, researcher from Tasmania in Australia, Vince Lynn, says that he submitted a paper that's been accepted into the Journal of Navigation in 2021, basically saying that the work changes the narrative from the incident from no blame fuel starvation, which we had talked about. He says, in fact, it would have worked being completely disappeared if not for the MH370s plowing its right wing through a wave and the discovery of regular interrogation satellite communications by Inmarsat.
I have no idea what any of that means.
Yeah, well, I'm having a hard time deciphering it as well, but essentially, he thinks that this pilot was trying to do this and trying to dump parts of the plane on the way down so that it would be less discoverable, and that because of where we found pieces, it essentially leads us to saying that, yes, he did this.
Wait, so he was trying to rip off parts of the plane?
That he was trying... Well, so here, let...
I didn't know you could do that. He's like, I just want to lose a
if you're strong.
I guess. He's like all, you going King Kong? Like, you're just dipping into... You're dipping wings into water?
So let me find the quote again.
I would assume that that means that you go a tumbling into the water.
Yeah, he said that the damage to the plane's wings, flaps, and flaperon suggested it was involved in a, quote, controlled ditching to that similar of Sully on the Hudson River. It says this justifies beyond the original claim based on brilliant, skilled, and very careful debris damage analyses that the MH7 or 370 had fuel and running engines when it underwent this masterful, quote, controlled ditching and not a high-speed fuel-starved crash. So, they're saying that it wasn't
okay. So like, he didn't try to ditch parts of the plane. They're saying that he went because of this. They know that he was in control of the plane when it went down.
That it wasn't just like, oh, we ran out and now we're screwed. Or
sure.
So it says the premeditated iconic location harbors a very deep 6,000-meter hole at the eastern end of the Broken Ridge, this underwater, with a very rugged and dangerous ocean environment, with narrow steps, narrow steep sides surrounded by massive ridges. It's filled with fine sediments, and it's a perfect, quote, hiding place for the rest of the plane. So that this aviator could have known, if I don't want anyone to find this plane based on what's beneath me, I start losing my stuff here, I go down here, and no one will know.
Oh. And someone else is saying that you can do things aerodynamically to cause a plane to kind of come apart.
Yeah, huh. I think that's, that is way more stunt related, but yeah, I think that if you maneuver in certain ways, like you can do things to tear the wings off and stuff like that. And this paper essentially says that he believes that is what's happened.
And so he knew where to go. And let me just state for the record, look, crashing an airplane full of a couple hundred people, like it doesn't get much worse than that, but like you're already a murderer, but do you have to be a D on top of it and make sure that no one else can find their loved one ever again?
Yeah.
Like,
that's rough.
And I don't understand murder-suicide. Like, I don't understand, like, why if you're going to kill yourself, you got to kill a bunch of people with you. But people shoot up schools, whatever, you got some screws loose. But what's the idea that your final thing is I'm killing a bunch of people and I'm going to make sure that no one ever finds us? It just seems like an extra FU, I suppose. You want to talk about being the world's biggest ass?
Well,
it's
the ultimate display of inconsiderate, like being inconsiderate.
You already murdered everybody.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but it's like, on top of that, you already gave so little about their lives, you can't even give any dignity with it either.
Right?
It's awful.
Yeah, like you're killing everybody. You know you're killing everybody. And at no point you're like, at least the families will have an opportunity to bury their loved ones.
Maybe it's
you went and found like the deepest, like darkest, murkiest part of the ocean where you're going to be covered in sand. And that was the thing, like what they were talking about at the bottom, and that was what they said in the documentary. There's parts of that ocean that are so sandy and silty that if something hit the bottom of it, there's a good chance that it would just sink and it would just get covered and
like avalanched over, kind
avalanched
of.
Over, yeah. And you would never be able to find that it's lost to history.
Well, maybe it's one of those things where like they don't want anyone to find their body.
Yeah.
So then you don't think about the other, like at that point,
it's about how it applies to you and you only. Yeah,
you only care about yourself. You're selfish in this situation, and you don't want anyone to find you. You don't want anyone to think about you.
Yeah, I'm putting rational behavior on a guy that's getting ready to murder several hundreds of people. But
293, I think.
Well, we don't think about that, like because you know you get someone that shoots up a school, and you know they kill, you know, 10, 15 people, or the guy that shot up Vegas. I mean, I think he got like 50. I think that might have been the worst that we've had. And those guys are like full on, you know, demons, spawn of Satan type stuff. Well, this ass, he took
everyone with him.
293,
I think, was the total count, including the pilots.
293. I mean,
that's evil.
But we don't. Yeah, we don't label these guys the same way that we do the
shooters. A school shooter. Yeah, it's true.
And yet, you know, 293 is a hell of a lot.
Well, and I think part
and
of
by the way, and just as terrifying as some, like, I don't know which one's scarier, like having someone shoot up a place that you're at, or
just being decide on, that your vehicle's going down.
Yeah, or being on an airplane and realizing that you're effed because the pilot is purposely taking you into the ground.
Right.
I mean, that's a whole thing right there.
Well, we'll still get to the $46,000 wedding without a groom. We could potentially get to
I need to know
the Space National Guard. We also have a computer executive who is suing for $1.5 million after he was fired for peeing in a lobby. Yeah, then we have the beheaded whale situation.
The beheaded whale, I know that one, which, you know.
We'll get to the wedding.
I need to know about a $46,000 wedding that didn't happen, or did it?
It happened without the groom. The honeymoon happened, too, also without the groom. That's coming up next, but first, Ortner has a SportsCenter update.
Now, Mub 1080 with Isaac and Sue.
You know, I always felt I could be a great salesman. Well, believe me, I could talk anybody into anything, except women into sex. That's the only thing I can't do.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Sue is brought to you by Bub Beer, the official beer of Cheap Fun.
Can I get a hot tub?
Welcome back to the club. We have, well, I was going to say we've lost Sue. We've not. He's walking in right now. What we are going to get to is the wedding of one Lindsay, what is her last name? Lindsay Slater. Lindsay Slater is 31 years old, and she is a bride in, I believe, Nottingham, England.
Oh, okay.
And she was supposed to get married to her partner of 10 years, and she found out just before the wedding that he was cheating. They'd been together for 12 years, excuse me.
Oh, hey.
And,
12 years and then got engaged.
Well, 12 years they were engaged, and then they split because Lindsay found out that that he was stooping somebody else. So what's not clear is exactly how far in advance of the wedding she found out, because a lot of times, like, the hay is in the barn with deposits and whatnot.
Sure.
But she basically decided, forget him. He's not going to be part of it. I'm not going to marry him, but I am going to have this party that we already booked. So it said that the wedding cost $46,000. She confronted him about the affair. He left the family home distraught, and she canceled their upcoming ceremony.
Yeah.
But she kept the rest of the big day's reception plans in place, calling them a celebration of freedom from him. she messaged her Facebook. On Facebook, she messaged her guests, 60 to 70 of them, telling them that they should still come to the reception. Things were like, she gave them the scenario: you've already RSVP'd, but homeboy's not going to be a part of it anymore. And so,
do you go to a? Do you go to that?
It says that 60 to 70 did come to the reception.
Why not?
Consisted
you
of
to hook
a
up with the bride, are you?
No, if I would assume that the bar is open. I am always open to going to the open bar.
It consisted of a sit-down meal, speeches. I wonder what people said.
Did you just, like, talk S about the guy?
There was a DJ and bongo players. And then Lindsay even went on her honeymoon and just gave the spot to her friend Melissa. They went to Greece for a week.
Huh. Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. That all seems cool, but it also seems like you just blew $46,000.
My guess is she wasn't going to be able to get most of it back, and or he paid for most of it, and she wanted to stick it to him.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, right? I mean, you can do worse than that, but, like, if I paid $46,000 and then, I mean, I don't know if I would have a good time knowing that I just blew $46,000 on one party.
So she said,
which, by the way, is why $46,000 weddings are stupid and pointless. That's the dumbest thing. Like, regardless of what you think of marriage, the idea of spending $46,000, like, imagine if I just told you we're going to throw a party. We're just going to throw a party. And you're like, hey, is this going to be the best party of all time? You're like, no, not really. You know, I was like, I'm not going to hire, like, the my favorite band or anything.
Oh, is Billy Joel coming to play?
Yeah, no, like, no, it's just a party. And, you know, I don't know. There'll be some people there. Were your friends? Yeah, a bunch of people I don't really care about. And, I don't know, I'll be really busy. So it's not like I'll get to enjoy the entire thing. And, you know, and then, you know, afterwards we go on a cool trip for a week. And you're like, oh, how much are you going to spend? You're like, oh, 50K. You'd be like, dude, you're out of your effing mind. But when it comes to the wedding, you'd be like, yeah, let's go.
Once in a lifetime.
$46,000. I'm like, holy hell.
It says while she isn't ready to move on just yet, Lindsay says her solo wedding made her feel, quote, strong and empowered. She's a lawyer from Nottingham. Mm-hmm. Also said, I didn't know how I was going to survive. I was distraught, but it was too late to go back on the wedding plans. All that money had already been spent.
I mean, I guess, right?
So there's a big part of me who thought, I'm free. It's better to just start a new era this way.
I mean, I guess that is like, what is that? Like the Dierks Bentley, right? Like drunk on a plane or whatever. Like you spent the money.
Great
you
song.
Ain't getting it back on a honeymoon.
Might as well get drunk on the plane.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd still have the party. I'd do the honeymoon thing.
Well, that's where you have the party and you invite the other hots.
You invite the hots, yeah.
You're like, hey, come on. Let's see what's going on.
I can appreciate that. Yeah, I guess, you know, once you put that money down, like, you can't come back. But I would think that'd be weird as a guest because despite her being, like, in a good mood, you know she's just miserable.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird. You're just, like, dancing on someone's funeral.
She said...
people do that.
I thought so, too. But she said, I'm glad I did it. I really enjoyed the entire day. I was so surprised at how supportive everyone was. I was surrounded by so much love. It really reminded me that I just didn't need him.
Yeah.
I mean, a white dress.
Which is too bad that you've, I guess... It took all this to figure that out. You would have liked to have realized that before you had this big party. But, you know, I guess trying to make lemonade out of lemons.
I just can't believe that someone dropped 40. I mean,
I can.
Weddings are. I was at a family gathering. I was at a gathering this weekend where I was trying to make magic happen for the great Will Ortner and a hot Asian blazer dancer. I'll boo her. The BTJ, like, she's got, like, this Asian community, and so they do these, like, these family dinner things. And they're not family. It's a big group of Asians that invites, you know, a bunch of Asians, and they all get together, and they have a big old gathering. And there are, you know, inside of that group, there are certainly family members. And let me just tell you something. When you've been dating someone for, like, almost 5 years, don't go to one of those. Like, I don't go to many of those. This is like, that's your thing. Don't go to one with a bunch of old Asian women when you aren't married after dating for a certain amount of time. The amount of heat. I walked into a GD hornet's nest. I had no idea. I was like, yeah, I'm going because the food's amazing. It's like just a full-on Vietnamese spread, just incredible food. And I'm like, yeah, I'm there. I got open bar. I got unlimited Vietnamese food. Freaking delightful. No. I just walked into a bunch of angry old Asian ladies that were mad at me for not being married. It was some serious heat.
Didn't expect souk on the grill when you got there.
No, I just showed up and it was just double barreled. And that's my fear. It's
Asian women.
Well, that's true. That's a fear. But like the amount of at a certain point, so that guy had been like engaged for, or they'd been dating for like 12 years.
They'd been dating for 12 years. They had been engaged since 2020. So they're engaged almost 4 years.
The longer you go, right? Like, I think like the bigger you have to go. It's like, hey, a-hole, it's been this long. We're going big. I don't think I could do it. I really don't think. I think inside I would just die. If I saw the bill and it was $46,000, I think I'd get divorced just out of a matter of spite. I'm like, no, we're not. I would be the one. I'm like,
more money away.
I would just leave. At that point, I would leave. And they're like, why are you leaving? I'm like, $46,000.
I did go to
I just can't think of anything dumber to waste your money on than that.
I had a friend that called his wedding off pretty close to the wedding. They had already sent out like the invitations, but it wasn't like, you know, the week before or anything. What still hadn't happened yet, though, was the bachelor party. Yeah. So we all went. We'd already booked our flights. We went to Austin for the weekend, and it was a non-bachelor party. So all the guys who would have been there for the bachelor party just kind of raging because the guy wasn't getting married now.
Let it rip. Wait, was he there?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. No, it was like his own Mitchapalooza from Old School. Have you seen Old School yet, Will?
I've seen Old School.
I just didn't know. Sometimes, you know, old movies.
At that amount of money, like if Snoop Dogg showed up with Don Magic Wannabe, all right, I got something for my $46,000. But if I go to a wedding and all it is just a bunch of my idiot friends, like drinking my booze and then like eating like a decent catered meal and then like some sort of stupid dance afterwards and we're like $46,000. No.
For your chicken dance, yeah.
No. I can do a lot of things with $46,000. I'm thinking courthouse, and then we just head to a bar, and I buy a couple rounds, and after that, everyone can go to hell.
We'll see what time we have left for the Wheel of Randomness. Three more stories to choose from when we get back in the club on The Fan.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Suk.
Sitting on a cloud of judgment, handing down life lessons to all the sinners.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Suk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of Cheap Fun.
Double Sun Power!
By the way, Suk, I'm also seeing in that wedding story that they had alpacas out there at the reception for people to hang out with. See, so that's part of your $46,000 bill.
I promise you that if I get married, there will be no alpacas. Again, I like this idea. Wedding, someone's backyard, we head to a local dive bar, you get two... You know what? We'll do like an hour. I'll do an hour of an open bar tab. After that, you cheap sons of bitches, you're on your own. It'll be brought to you by Pub Beer.
Hey, I'm celebrating you. You should be out here shelling out for me.
I'll get Pub Beer to sponsor it. Cheap fun. I'm sure the missus will love the idea of our wedding being labeled cheap fun. There we go.
Have it like Satanic wedding, the home of cheap fun.
Exactly. We'll have it at like Kell's. They've got like a nice banquet hall right there. You can go downstairs, have a cigar, eat some bread pudding, and call it a day. Gosh, the weddings. I honestly cannot think of something that's a bigger waste of time. Weddings or maybe funerals. I don't know which one's dumber.
Well, like, I mean, the funeral's a remembrance. I'm on the record. I think weddings rule. Weddings are really fun because mostly because someone else is paying for you to party.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's my point. Look, if someone wants to invite me to their wedding, I'll show up. You're a fan? Hey, invite me. I'll show up. Let's go. I'll show up and we'll give it a toast. But if you want me to, like, no. You want me to be footing the bill for that? I don't think so. Because I know that's the only reason anyone's coming to that wedding is because it's free food and drink.
No, just, to celebrate your love.
No.
It's
to celebrate it open. Rob always does this. Like, I love weddings.
You're
I'm like, yeah, how many dry weddings do you go to? All of a sudden, it shrinks up real quick.
Yeah, you love weddings that are parties with your friends.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't love dry weddings.
Well, who has a dry wedding?
Mormons.
I don't know any of them. Not anymore, at least.
All right, three more potential stories. We can do Space National Guard. Do fired for peeing in the lobby of a hotel only to sue the former employer. Or beheading the whale.
Yeah, let's talk about beheading the whale. Because I'm
dude, what is this?
I'm all for blowing up a whale.
Okay. We know all about that. This comes to us from a story from an interview that was done with Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s daughter, whose name is Kick, by the way. Yeah. Kick Kennedy.
By the way, I'm not here to get into a whole whether you like R.F. Kennedy. I got a buddy. A buddy of mine who loves him, just thinks he's like the best thing ever. Dude, that dude's weird as S. Doesn't mean he's not great if that's what you're into. That dude is weird as hell.
Talking about the bear cub?
So, no, that's one of them.
That's a whole other thing.
If you thought the bear cub was weird, this might even be weirder. Yes. So this was a story. It's not,
not to mention the brain worm.
It's not a news story. Yeah. This was from an interview with the daughter in 2012, but because he's been in the news, it's been kicked back up again.
Yeah.
And essentially, she says that when they were on a family vacation, there was a whale carcass that washed ashore in Squaw Island, which is, let's see, where did they say
that's
got
to be
was?
Somewhere like in,
even, in, the, in Massachusetts. There you
say,
go.
That's got to the Kennedys, if you ever go to Nantucket in Cape Cod, you can see the Kennedy compound there. Like, T. Swizzle has a house out there. It's ridiculous. Mm. It's like the nicest place you've ever seen.
As the story goes, after learning...
The Kennedy compound, not the Taylor Swift one.
After learning a whale carcass had washed ashore on Squaw Island, her dad excitedly bound down to the beach, chainsaw in hand, and decapitated it right there before strapping the whale's head to the family minivan with a bungee cord so he could go home and study it later.
Yeah.
What? What are you going to study from this dead whale head,
dude?
Drop
it off at Central Park?
Yeah.
This is the same guy that, like, came across or might have hit a bear cub and then planted it only to be... to seem like it had been run over by bicyclists in Central Park. Like, this dude's got some weird stuff going on.
Just the idea that you want to decapitate... First off, like, I'm assuming this is like a beluga whale.
I don't know.
Because you're not cutting off, like, a humpback whale's head.
So I think so.
It's got to be like a pilot whale or like a beluga. A Luke whale. And you just think to yourself, what the hell? I'll just go chainsaw its head off, bungee cord it to the top of my car, and take it home.
And then additionally, they had to do a 5-hour drive home with the whale on, and they said that everyone in the car's senses were relentlessly assailed as it was nearly excruciating, gag-inducing stenches because, well, you had a whale head dead on the top of your car.
Again, not here to say whether or not that man is crazy or not. Or whether you like him.
Listen to these quotes.
Dude is freaking nuts.
Every time we accelerated on the highway, whale juice would pour into the windows of the car, and it was the rankest thing on the planet. We all had plastic bags over our head with mouth holes cut out, and people on the highway were giving us the finger, but that was just normal day-to-day stuff for us.
He just...
at the point when the whale goo starts coming into the minivan, Jesus, wouldn't you say, you know what, it's time to leave this?
Well, I mean, to be fair to RFK,
he's got a brain worm going on.
Well, once you've chainsawed the whale head off, at that point, right, in for a penny, in for a pound, like you have to see that thing through. You can't just leave the decapitated head on the side of the road. Like, you're committed at that point. So I guess I do admire his commitment to just keeping the whale head.
And again, I wanted to know, like,
car?
How much he stood to gain by doing this five-hour trek with the whale. Like,
can he get in trouble for it?
I would think maybe you could.
I don't think
but...
you're allowed to decapitate a whale. I don't.
Well,
think...
but it was already dead.
I don't care. I don't think you're allowed to.
Is this like decapitating an already dead person?
Well, there's like...
Well, it's not a dead person, but I'm assuming...
I don't know. We got those roadkill rules where it's like, if a roadkill's intact, like, can't you, like, pick it up and take it and farm the meat and stuff? Like,
I don't think
so. Deer?
I don't think that. I think there's a...
Could.
I think there's a process. I am no park ranger, but I'm fairly certain that you can't cut off a whale's head. Like, that one, the beach whale, like, they had to set up, like, you can't even go down there and mess with it. Let alone excitedly run down with a chainsaw. I can't even get over the idea that his first thought was, I want to decapitate this thing. The hell is he studying from a whale's head?
That's what I want to know. Like, what was he going to get? What knowledge was he going to gain from this?
Scientist also? Like,
no, I don't think so.
What was he getting from it?
Not a biologist? Marine biologist?
Yeah, it's, you know.
He's Costanza.
The story additionally tells us that RFK daughter Kick, 36 years old, has been recently seen hanging out with newly minted divorcee Ben Affleck.
Oh, well, there you go.
Both Massachusetts folks.
My late grandmother had illegal whale parts. No head. But, yeah, she dealt in, she owned a boat store in Alaska.
Okay.
And she was born and raised in Sweden, and they have some different, you know.
Different rules.
Different rules up there. Yeah, she would often have illegal animal things.
Like, what could she sell, like, blubber or stuff like that? Or what was it that she would have?
What are the big, is it the balenes? The big, long, like, from a big humpback whale. They're like, in their throat, and it's, like, what they use to, like, filter out the food. They look like big feathers.
Hmm.
There's got to be someone out there that I think they're called balenes.
That sounds right. I feel like I've heard that term, but.
I might be full of crap on that. But yeah, they're in their throat and they look like big feathers. And yeah, you can't have those. My grandmother had them. And she had like some illegal seal fur. And she may have had some. Look, she's long dead now. I'm just telling you. She dealt in illegal animal parts. It was a whole thing.
Those are stories for another day. Thank you to Suk for having me in this spot. Rop should be back tomorrow. This whole show with Primetime will be back tomorrow from 3 to 7. But next, it's Ducks Roundtable. Anthony Newman, Will Ortner, myself, Jordan Schultz. A new Duck season is coming at you next. It's Primetime. 10 to be the fan.
Ships of Spain.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.